Amen. So I want to talk from the next few minutes from the subject of creating margin in life. Creating margin. Everybody say margin. That is a word that I've always prayed over your life, that you would have extra, that you would have margin. I'm actually good. I don't want that to happen. Praise the Lord. I'm creating margin in life. This series is about making spaces for what matters. Too many people are overwhelmed in life. Can I get a... Too many people are overwhelmed by busyness. They're overwhelmed by being financially strapped. They're overwhelmed by just emotional exhaustion. They're overwhelmed because they have spiritual emptiness. The bottom line is too many people in life are running on empty. And it's God's will for our lives to maintain a well-balanced life where the Holy Spirit can lead us and guide us so we don't let life overwhelm us, all right? You got to understand, the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You got it? He wants to stress you out. He wants you to feel like you got anxiety, that there's not enough time, and those kind of things. And so as we go through these next several weeks, I'm going to talk from several different topics. I'm going to talk about making room, you know, the proper room for relationships, making room for yourself. You got to having the time that you need. Today, I'm actually going to talk about margin from the subject of breathing room in your money. And I wasn't going to start with money, but then I started thinking about it, and it's December and Christmas is coming. You got it? And I don't want you to get stressed out about Christmas. You got it? And feeling like you got to, you know, go and run up credit cards to try to impress people, you know, and those kind of things. You know, I'm a firm believer that, you know, if I'm blessed and I'm able to give, then I should do that. You got it? If I'm in a spot where I can't do that right now, then that's okay. I believe that we all should stay in our lane and make sure that we handle our money well. So today we're going to talk about breathing room in your money. We're going to talk about creating margin. We're going to talk about financial breathing room so that you can live with peace instead of pressure. You got it? So we're going to jump into this lesson. I have a lot to share, but I know that y'all are going to be a good class, and so we'll get to where we're going. All right, so everybody say number one. Number one, wise people create margin. Wise people create margin. What is margin, Pastor? Margin is the difference between your load and your limit. Margin is what you have after you've paid all of your bills, all right? It is the space between what you earn and what you spend. And Proverbs, the 21st chapter and 20th verse says, the wise have wealth and luxury, but fools spend what, class? All right, y'all are quiet today. I've noticed y'all been quiet. I thought it was early because I was just talking about the offering, but maybe y'all are just quiet today. No, what y'all did was stayed up watching Indiana beat Ohio State, praise the Lord, all right? And Georgia beat Alabama, but we still rolling with the tide. Yes, we are. All right, Proverbs 21 and 20 says, the wise have what? All right, let's try it again. The wise have what? Good, but fools spend what? All right. Now, when they say fools, don't take that the wrong way. The fool just means unwise. All right. So there's the wise, then there's the unwise. And so the wise save, they create space. And the unwise, they consume everything immediately. How many know you can't spend everything you get? Right? Margin is the space between what you earn and what you spend. See, if you're earning $4,000 and you're spending $4,000, you actually don't have a financial problem. You have a margin problem. Does that make sense? Oh, they got quiet on me, all right? And so the key is learning to start putting some savings. You will be amazed that people who don't have no savings, if they will just start saving and just initially put $500 away, there's like a sense of peace. Because it removes panic from minor emergencies. A tire blows out. They say it's $125. You know you got $500 in savings. There's no pressure. There's no stress. Why? Because I got something on the side. All right. And so number one is wise people create margin. Now let's go to number two, because number one was supposed to be short on purpose. Everybody say number two. All right. Number two, it's not just what you make, it's what you keep. You got it. I learned that years ago from a very wealthy person. As lady and I were starting our businesses, and we were starting to things were starting to take off, and we were starting to make a lot of money. And I was, you know, trying to find out how to do what with my money and, you know, savings and high yield savings accounts and what is a brokerage account and, you know, what is this and what is that and those kind of things. And most people would tell you it's not what you make, it's what you keep. You got it? In the area of, you know, for them, they were talking big about taxes. I don't believe that you should cheat on your taxes. You understand? I believe you should do them the proper way. However, they have different rules that you can use. People call them loopholes. I like to call them rules, right? Because loophole almost sounds kind of funny, but there are different rules that says you can do this, and if you have that, you can deduct this, and you can do, I believe in all of that, but I believe in integrity, that you should do things God's way, because if you do things God's way, you'll get God results. Does that make sense? Yeah, and so, amen, that's a good place to clap. But now if you're going to clap, clap good. I mean, don't patty cake. So it's not what you make, it's what you keep. Luke 14 and 28 says, but don't begin until you do what, class? Count the cost. For who would begin construction on a building or a house without first calculating the cost to see if there's enough money to finish it? Doesn't that make sense? Yeah, you know, and so Jesus, you know, this is Jesus talking. So Jesus actually teaches planning and budgeting, all right? And you have to be careful because, you know, you have to think clearly and really allow the Holy Spirit to help you when it comes to money. Because, see, the enemy, you know, will help you go the wrong way with money, right? You know, because if you're not careful, I'll save later. That's a trap. Or you've been feeling that, well, I deserve this. I deserve this new car. I know I can't afford it, but I deserve, that's emotional. Yes. And we don't need to be emotional spenders. And every one of us, including me, at some point in our lives has bought something emotionally. Amen. You got it. Even if it was the cheesecake, you understand what I'm saying? We bought something emotionally, right? All right. So if you say I'll save later, that's a trap. If you say, oh, I deserve this, that's emotional. Or if you, I need more money. And I'm not saying that you don't need more money, but that could be deception if you're actually making enough, but you're not handling it properly. And let me help you. If you want more, the Word of God teaches us that the key to get more is handle what you have properly now. You got it. Good stewardship, the Bible says, not Pastor James, but the Bible says that good stewardship leads to abundance. It leads to more. All right. And you remember the story of the talents. You understand? You know, and the one who did properly with the talents, he ended up getting, you know, even more talents. And the one who didn't do properly got his taken away. You got it. And so it's understanding the importance. So, because the truth is, you know, if I can't manage 4,000 well, I won't be able to manage 8,000 well. If I can't manage 8,000 well, I won't be able to manage 80,000 well. Does that make sense? Yeah, and I've even taught you that in your giving. You know, if someone has a problem giving their paycheck, now let's just say their paycheck is, let's say you get paid weekly, all right? And let's say that your paycheck is 10, let's say if it was, let's say it's $2,500 a week. Nice. Praise it. That's right. Because if we're going to think, let's think big. If we're going to believe, let's believe big. You got, see, and some of y'all backed up, but let me help you. The Bible says all things are possible if you believe. I remember when Lady LaConte and I were living in a house that we rented. We had a little car that we bought from a buy here, pay here place. But watch this. But we were faithful. We were tithers. You got it. We were learning faith and how it worked. We were learning God's plan for our lives. And even in that little house, even though we were living paycheck to paycheck, we never had to ask anybody for anything. She didn't have to go to her parents. I never had to go to my parents. I'm not knocking you if you ever did. I'm just saying we took what we had and we worked with what we had. You got it? And because we did that, watch this, God blessed us more and more. So we, you know, if we only made $450 that week, we tithe, we gave offering, we blessed our man and woman of God. We did all, because watch this, when we did it the right way, we understood that if I can handle this, watch this, the proper way, then God can give me more of a handle. But if I can't handle $450, how can I handle $450,000? If I can't give tithe off of $450, I'm probably not going to give it off of $45,000. Does that make sense? And so you have to understand that. So I remember when Lady and I were doing that, I was what they called the calculator man. I kept a calculator on me. I remember one time, ladies' parents said, hey, we going to Georgia. Y'all want to go with us? And she said, hey, babe, mom and dad going to Georgia. You know, can we go with them? I started looking at my calculator. What was I doing? Figuring out, you know, how much I had. Yeah, I had that because Holy Spirit, thank you that the memory of the righteous is blessed. I've always balanced my checkbook, praise the Lord, on a weekly basis. To this day, I balance my checkbook at least twice a week. I really do. You got it. I do. I believe in the old school way of doing it, you know, writing it down because you really feel it. You understand? And I know how much I have. I know exactly how many bills we have. You got it. I know all that. And so I've always been like that. And so I was like, okay, well, we got this. We got to do this. We got to do that. We got to do that. And then when she gets paid next week, it's this, and then I said, babe, we ain't gonna be able to do it. You got it. Do you know, lady didn't get upset with me. She didn't get mad. She understood it's gonna be greater later. You understand? You know, and we didn't go to them, say, well, we can't go because, you know, we ain't got enough, and, you know, because now we kind of hitting if y'all want to help. No, we understood that if we do it God's way, we're gonna see God results in our lives. So we worked the process, and y'all, when you start budgeting and giving and doing things the right way, it's not overnight, but it's over time, and you begin to see God do amazing things in your life. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so, amen. Y'all know, at the end of the week, we wouldn't have a whole bunch left, but we had already given. We had already gotten all of our grocery. We gassed up, you know, and that kind of thing. So even if it was, let's say, $125 left till Friday, and it was Tuesday, you understand? You know, that's okay, because everything's taken care of. All we have to do is manage that properly, and then here come Friday, and then now if we don't spend a whole $125 and only spend $50, we got $75 to add to that, and we kept doing that, and next thing you know, we look back, we're like, man, now we got $1,000 emergency fund in our savings account, and not overnight, but over time, man, God breathed on that because we handled our finances the proper way. Does that make sense? So pastor's not teaching you something that I've never done. You know, sometimes, people will look at me, oh, it's easy for you to say. No. I started like everybody else did. With nothing. You understand what I'm saying? But I worked the process, and it will work for anybody, all right? And so you know, and we and our date night was Church's Chicken, and we went to Church's Chicken, which was inside a little gas station on the corner of Bell Fork and Country Club, all right? Yeah, and that's what we did. We went in there, and they only had, you know, a couple little places to sit down, and we went, and we got that little two-piece. You know, it was like $1.99 back there with a honey biscuit, and boy, that honey biscuit was the will of God, you understand? But look, we had the best time. And Lady LaConte and I were talking not too long ago, and we were talking about how God has just been so good to us. And, you know, now we can go to Ruth Chris, or we can go to Del Frisco's or whatever. But one thing we stopped and said, we were just as happy when we were eating the greasy chicken biscuit, you got it, for $1.99 as when we walk into a nice restaurant, because it was never about what we had. You understand? It was about God was good. It was about we had each other. We had goals. We had dreams. We knew that God was going to bless us, but we knew how to be content right where we were. Amen. You got it? So joy shouldn't be circumstantial. Wow. Does that make sense? So you know, a lot of people happy if they got money. If they don't got money, they're not happy. Don't let that control your life. Does that make sense? All right. So we said, number one, wise people create margin. Y'all get anything out of this? We said, number two, all right, it's not just what you make, it's what you keep. All right. So there's got to be this mindset shift from income-driven living to wisdom-driven living. Because if you have wisdom-driven living, God will show you how to create abundance and create more in your life. And then let's go to point. Everybody say number three. Number three, discipline planning God's way produces increase. Discipline planning whose way? All right, God's way. And that's why, you know, sometimes people have a problem with giving and tithing, and I just don't like it. I get it, but it's in the Bible. It's all through the Bible. It's under the law. Yeah, but it's before the law, and it's after the law. Jesus even talked about tithing. And so at some point, you know, I lovingly say, you just got to make up your mind, am I going to do things God's way, you got it, and tithe and experience the blessing, or am I not going to do it God's way, you got it, and you just see how it works out. If it was me, you got it, trying stuff on my own has never worked anyways. I might as well do it God's way, consistently in faith, and watch what God will do in my life. Does that make sense? So discipline planning God's way produces increase, all right? And Proverbs 21 and 5 says, good planning and hard work lead to what, class? All right, that's the Bible, right? You know, it's just so funny how people don't like the word rich. It just means abundantly supplied. People don't like the word prosperity. It's all through the Bible. Psalms 35 and 27 says, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his people. God wants you to prosper. God wants you to do good. John 10 and 10 says he came that we might have life, that we might have it more abundantly. In the Amplified, it says to the full till it overflows. 3 John 2 says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. So all through the scripture, we see that God really wants us to do amazing, but we just got to learn the principle of doing it God's way. You got it? So you, when you do it God's way and you start prioritizing, God's way kind of looks like this. Number one, I give to God. Number two, I pay my creditors. Number three, I save money. And number four, I enjoy the rest. That's what God's way looks like. I want y'all to repeat after me. Say, give to God. Pay creditors.
Save money.
Enjoy the rest. Now look at your neighbor and say, he's really trying to help us. All right. Now look at your other neighbor and say, you too. All right. Okay. All right, so give to God, all right? Give to God. This is not a series on giving, so I'm not going to jump too far into giving, but we know that the tithe means tenth. It's first part. The Bible says it's the holy thing. It's the accursed thing. It's a thing that doesn't belong to us, and when we give it to God, he blesses and breathes on the 90, but he does way more than that because giving is not just about getting money back. Giving puts us in covenant with God. You got it? So that's why when we read in a minute ago, all sufficiency in all things, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you may have all sufficiency. So not just money, but I have everything that I will ever need because I'm in covenant with God. So I give to God, and then I pay my creditors. Why is that number two, Pastor? Because in the culture we live in, I hear it all the time. Pay yourself first. You know, if you want to do that, that's fine, but I don't see that in scripture, right? So I'm going to give to God. I'm going to pay my creditors. Why? That's integrity. I signed the dotted line and said every month I'm going to pay this $432 car note, right? Well, I can't. I'm sick and tired of this car. I ain't paying them no more. That ain't their fault that you're sick and tired of the car. Come on, somebody. So it's a matter of integrity. I got to do it God's way, right? All right. And so I pay my creditors, right? And then I save some money. You got it? And for all of us, it's different. If you can't do anything right now when you get paid except put $20 aside, do that. That's a great start. And just every time I get paid, put $20. And every time, well, it ain't really doing much. No, it really is. Because even psychologically, every time I get paid, now I'm saying the first thing I got to do, I give to God. I'm going to pay my, and I'm going to put something over there, right? And so I give to God, I pay creditors, you know, and then as you get blessed, you can do more. You might put some money in a high yield savings account. Maybe you have a 401k. If your job has 401k and they match, it's a really good idea to do that. If they're going to match $100, you put $100 in. Now you got $200 and you can go online. Just Google a 401k calculator. And if you put $200 a month in for the next 15, 20 years, you're going to have some cash. Does that make sense? Now, don't go taking it out early because you say, ooh, it's looking good. I want me a car. No, because then you're going to have to pay taxes. Okay, praise the Lord. I don't want to get too far. You know, maybe you have a brokerage account, just whatever. But give to God, pay creditors, save money. And then number four is when we enjoy the rest. You got it? And sometimes rest, like for me and Lady LaConte, was only like $100 and some for that entire week. But the gas in the cars was filled up. There was food and, you know, already there. So we had everything that we needed, all right? Now, let me just help you. This isn't law. It's just wisdom. Does that make sense? This isn't law. It's just wisdom, all right? But this strategy does several things. This strategy, it builds legacy. All right, because you know I want to be able to leave something for my kids. You understand what I'm saying? You know, I want, you know, for some of us we say, well, at least I want my house paid off. Okay, praise the Lord, or I want to have something in account for them. You know, I believe, you know, in leaving my children blessings and not bills. Yes. Does that make sense? So even if I, even if you just, you know, I believe in life insurance, and I believe that life insurance is something that can that can actually promote generational wealth. You understand? It does not cost that much for you to go and get a 30-year life insurance policy, $250,000. It's just not that much money. If you just don't go out to eat one time a month, you've covered that. You understand what I'm saying? And then now you got it later on in life, because you ain't going nowhere now. Praise the Lord. You got it. But later on in life, after you've lived a long, healthy life, you got it. You won't really have any bills. And if you have a little bit, that $250,000 going to cover them few little bills, cover the cost. And now look what you've been able to hand to them. But along with that, handle them some knowledge on finances so they don't take the $250,000 and just blow it. Amen. Does that make sense? You got it. Amen. That's a good place to clap. And so I'm really trying to help you. You understand what I'm saying? I'm really trying to help you, because it's like I was going to teach on relationships today, and Holy Spirit said, "No, teach on money." I was like, "Well, Lord, it's the first lesson. I don't want to teach on money the first lesson." No, it's December. Christmas is coming. I want you to get in the mind frame of I don't need to be spending all my money, you know, and those kind of things. And so just do everything you can do in your lane. Does that make sense? There was a time when me and Lady, all we could do was just buy buy Christmas presents for Jay and Hannah. That's all we could do. And praise the Lord, that's just what we did. You got it? And everybody else, we love y'all. Merry Christmas. Jesus is the reason for the season. I mean, seriously, right? Yeah, you know, and then, you know, we tell the kids, you know, go get some paper, fold it, make a Christmas card. So when you go see Nana and Papa, give them a Christmas card. You understand what I'm saying? And Nana and Papa didn't care. You got it. Can I just help y'all? Can I help y'all? Most people that really love you do not care. Yes. Does that make sense? Yes. Most people it's just the truth. Yes. Like Lady and I, we love y'all. Like, let me just tell you, we really don't care about a lot. You got it, as it relates to a lot of stuff. We just want you, when you come, we want you to know God. We want you to find freedom. We want you to discover your purpose. We want you to make a difference. We want your life to get better as a result of you coming to this church. We want your marriage to get better. We want your career to get better. We want your kids to get better and your finances to get better. But as far as caring what you drove up in, and I pray God blesses all y'all with the cars of your dreams. And when I say I don't care, it's not in a bad situation. I'm saying it don't matter to us. Does that make sense? Because we love you irregardless. But I hope that if I'm teaching this word the right way, it's producing increase in your life. Because I can't tell you how many of y'all come. Pastor, come after church. I want you to see my new car. I say, well, praise the Lord. You got it. I go and check it out. And that should be what happens as a result of me handling things properly, giving to God. Come on, somebody. Paying my creditor, saving money, enjoying the managing things well should get me to the point where God gives me the desires of my heart. Oh, that's good right there. That's good. That's good. And so if you don't have life insurance, get life insurance. Everybody needs it, man and woman. Praise the Lord. Just hands down, everybody needs it. And if you don't want to get $250,000, get $100,000. I mean, and it's just no money, y'all. And nowadays, they got them where there's no medical exam. You understand? Now, if you're healthy, do the one with the medical exam, because it's a little bit cheaper. You understand what I'm saying? My whole thing is I'm just trying to give you some wisdom. I'm really not trying to get anything from you. I'm trying to get some good information to you so it can help you with the rest of your life. Because let's just be honest, a lot of us growing up, nobody taught us about money. Nobody taught us about savings. Some of you in here, and I'm not knocking you because I didn't need always either, don't even know what a brokerage account is, right? Like we didn't understand the power of 401ks and matching. Nobody taught us this. And so now we're starting to learn these things, and we need to pass this on to our children and our children's children and people we know. So that way, you know, we can help them do better than we did, praise the Lord. You got it. So this strategy builds legacy, and it also produces margin. It creates breathing room in your life. It also lets you say yes to generosity. I talked about our big giving day coming up, and we want to do a lot of things. I'm going to do a video and kind of show you all the things that we want to do and all those kind of things. But when you have margin in life, it's easier for you to hear pastor, okay, yeah, you know, I'm going to believe God, we're going to pray, or me and my spouse are going to pray, or I'm going to pray about what I want to do that day. But if you're already strapped, if you're not careful, you'll let the enemy get in your mouth. Oh, see, that's what I'm talking about. It's always about money. No, it's not about money. We do this every year, one time a year. But the enemy gets in your mind strong when there's not a lot. Does that make sense? Yeah. And my thing is, that's why we never put pressure on anybody when it comes to giving. Can I get a
amen?
Week in and week out, you come to this church. Has pastor ever pressured you?
No.
Have I ever made you feel bad? Hey, you know, no, because that's not what the Bible says do. The Bible says teach them to give. You got it. And when you give, you do it out of a joyful heart, not grudgingly. You understand? And so it lets you give generously. And the last thing it lets you do is allows unexpected expenses without panic. So if something comes up, so, oh, man, I need this. Well, man, I didn't really want to go in my savings, but thank God I got a savings. I can go in the savings. I can get it, and I have what I need. All right. And so every last one of us, including pastor, at some point has made emotional decisions with money. We look back. But, you know, the whole thing about revelation is when I know better, I do better. So even if it's today, let's make a commitment that I'm going to start doing things God's way so I can get God results in my life. You got to have some no matter what. So everybody say no matter what.
No matter what.
Number one, I'm not sure if I gave this to y'all in the back. No matter what, I don't borrow unnecessary money. I don't borrow unnecessary money, okay? There's good debt and there's bad debt. You got it? But at the end of the day, regardless of the debt, you got it? The Bible says that you are servant to the lender. You got it? So if I'm going to be servant to the lender, at least I want to be with good debt.
Uh-huh.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, good debt and bad debt, what's that mean, pastor? Okay, you know, good debt is, you know, you bought you a home. That's good debt. You're going to be building equity, you know, and those kind of things. That's good debt. You need a car. You understand what I'm saying? Now, here's the thing. If you know your budget for a car is just, let's say, $45,000. Let's use $50,000. All right? My budget is $50,000, and I want to do this, you know, a month, and this. Don't go down there and let the salesman tell, ooh, but you look good in that $62,000. No, it ain't about looking good. It's about me staying in my lane. Because when you drive off with the 50 or the 62, you're going to feel the same way because you're going to be like, Father, I thank you. But you're going to be so happy that you stuck in your budget, because when the bill starts coming around, you say, oh, this is what I was expecting. You know, I was expecting this bill instead of it. What? I didn't know it was going to be like that. You know, and so, you know, and so just wisdom is the principal thing. So in all your, so get wisdom and all you're getting, get an understanding. And so you got to understand that they want you to be emotional when you go buy a car. Don't be emotional.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? All right. Yeah. Don't go be emotional. And then husband and wives, talk about it before you go. Before you go buy a home, before you go buy a car, always get an agreement on things. You understand? You got it. Don't just go in there, you know, and then, you know, ladies, let me just talk to y'all for a minute because I love y'all. You got it. But if your husband says, hey, let me do the negotiation. Let me lead the way. You got, let him lead the way. Especially if he's proven that he knows what he's doing. You know, you be like, oh, I just love this. Oh, my God. All negotiations are out the door. You got it. When we go places, when we were house shopping several years ago, I told a lady, walk in there like you don't like it. Straight face. Okay. Yeah. And the realtor, oh, and look at this. We're like, oh, yeah, that's nice. Yeah, all right. Okay, yeah. I'm not going to be moved. You understand what I'm saying? Now, when the lady want to get back in the car, so, oh, babe, that's it. I want. It's okay if it's me and her. You got it? But don't, because I need some negotiating power. And my negotiating power is like, it's all right. You got it. But you know, you got it. But don't tell them we'll take it if you put French doors on it, praise the Lord. Can I tell our story? So me and lady were going to buy a house. It was a very inexpensive house compared to what we were able to afford. And we really wanted to stay when our lives have always been under margin. You got like seriously under margin. And she's about to laugh. Do you want me to not tell? It's okay. All right. And so anyways, y'all, we could afford the house. Like we could afford that house six times. All right. So it's not like we were, you know, so anyways, we're walking in, we're meeting with the builder personally. Right. And so, and that kind of thing. And so we're walking in. was a very nice house. He did a lot of upgrades because he was building it for him. But he decided, or actually his wife decided, they wanted to live on the water. So now he's got this house. And so we're walking in, we're looking at it. And the gentleman knows who we are, of course, with billboards everywhere and that kind of thing. And you know, I'm just trying to play it cool. The way to go out, was it a sliding door? It was a sliding door. And lady was like, can we put French doors in there? And he said, oh, I could take, he's a builder. He said, I could take those out and put French doors in, you know, with no problem. He said, oh, we'll buy it if you put French doors in it. I'm like, tell me that at the car. Don't tell me that right now. And I'm looking at him like, she mean that, she mean that. Huh? That was a deal breaker for you not to have French doors? Right, I know. No, I got it. But when he said you could do, you should have said, okay. But I wasn't mad. We had already seen the house. We liked the house. We pretty much knew we wanted to buy the house anyways. So I don't want to make it seem. But when she did it, I was like, oh, Lord. It did kind of throw the negotiating power out the door, but God is good. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. So, okay, number two, no matter what, I have an emergency fund. No matter what, it's extremely imperative that you save and not spend all of your income. Having an emergency fund causes your emergency not to become a crisis. All right? My time is out. I'm almost done. Y'all give me like 3 minutes, okay? All right? Number three, no matter what, my spouse and I agree on big purchases. Can I get a?
Amen.
Agreement is the keeper of peace. All right. Agreement is the keeper of peace. And so lady and I, we always agree. It doesn't matter. Well, y'all are blessed. Y'all can do what you want. No, that ain't true. Who told you that? That's how you lose all your money. You understand what I'm saying? There are things, you know, there's a car that I love right now, and I can afford it. I won't go buy it because I'm like, I don't like that. You know, not like that. Now, I'm not saying I'll never get it, but, you know, I don't like bills. I just don't. You know, I don't like bills. We have a credit card that we use, and we pay it off. I actually pay it off every Friday. You understand what I'm saying? So we use it because we can build points, and the points do a lot of things, but it's an American Express, and it's actually not a credit card. You got it? It is a charge card. What's the difference? A charge car, you have to pay it off every single month. And I like that because I don't want that thing, you know, because, man, if you've ever fallen into credit card debt, and we did years ago in our early when we was 19, 20 years old, you know, man, it's a lot to kind of get your way out of that thing. And when you get out of that thing, you know, you be making promises, Lord, I ain't never getting in that again. You understand? So you can send me all the 0% APR for the first, y'all can have all of that. I don't want it. You got it? Because once I got out of that credit card, I was like, thank you, Jesus. All right? It just seems like you get out of anything but credit card debt. You get out of a house, you get out of a car, but it's like that credit card that's like, here I am. Good morning. All right. Number four. Everybody say number four. No matter what, I give a tenth of my income to my church. All right? Giving is not what? Let's go home, Court. It's not a game. It's God's plan to prosper our lives. All right? This is not a lesson on giving, so I'm not going to talk a lot about that. But I will tell you this, if you ever get a conviction that, man, I'm going to honor the Lord with my substance and the first fruit of all my increase, then the other part of that scripture where it says he'll cause plenty to show up in your life, if you do your part, God will always do his part. I'm going to give you a practical challenge for the week. This is not on the screen, but it's on your notes in the app so you can go look at it later. I said pick one or two to get started, but I want you to do all these things. Start an emergency fund, even if it's $100. Review all your subscriptions and see what you're wasting money on and cancel some of that stuff, all right? Pause impulse spending and have an accountability partner. If you're married, let your spouse be your accountability partner as long as y'all ain't gonna fight, praise the Lord, all right? Track spending for 1 week, all right? So from this Sunday to next Sunday, track your spending. You will be amazed at how much money we just spend on stuff. All right? All right? You done got that Keurig for Christmas, last Christmas. You got it. The K-Cups, everything that comes with it. You know, you ain't using none, but you've been to Starbucks 172 times. Build a basic budget. A budget is your friend. It tells you where your money goes. Lady and I are extremely blessed. We live by a budget to this day. We really do. He's just saying that. No, we live by a budget. Now, that whole enjoy the rest, there's a lot for us to enjoy. But it wasn't always like that. You got it? All right? And then the last one is start honoring God by tithing. All right? So I want y'all to make this declaration after me. Say it loud. Say it strong. Say, I will live with wisdom. I will create financial margin. I will not be ruled by money. I will not live in pressure. I will honor the Lord with the first of all my increase. I will walk in God's peace, and I'll walk in his provision. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that you bring peace where there has been financial stress and financial turmoil. I thank you for the wisdom of God for your people, for clarity in the name of Jesus, and discipline as we move forward to handle our money properly so we can see increase. Teach us how to live below our means and capacity so we can honor you, so we can bless others, so we can walk in margin, so we can have rest. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Give the Lord a big hand praise. Did y'all enjoy that?